Welcome back to this week's edition of Techonomics. My name is Jason Middleton. We're going to pick up our discussion with President Obama's former technology team leaders, Megan Smith and Alex McGillivray. Now, before joining the White House, Megan was on the leadership team at Google X, and she also co-created Google's Women Tech Makers. That's a tech diversity initiative. President Obama's approach to technology was to make tech skills more available to the masses, helping to create a viable 21st century workforce.
Same with coding. It's a 21st century skill to be able to think computationally, think in the scientific method, or think critically.
Megan Smith and her top deputy, Alex McGillivray, have been awarded the Distinguished Citizen Award from the Commonwealth Club of California. They get their accolades on March the 3rd. We pick up the conversation with Alex, talking about the spirit of collaboration needed to solve some major issues facing American society.
The way I usually try to explain this is there were those horrible movies, Lucy was one, and I think Limitless is the other, where they fall into that we only use 10% of our brain myth, which is not true.
It's a myth, that's right.
In the science and technology realm, we, as a nation, we've got some really, really hard problems, and we're doing the equivalent of only using 10% of our brain. We're really not making those opportunities as available to our entire population. So that this becomes a thing that is extremely important for national defense, for national security, for national competitiveness, that we use 100% of our people and that we really allow anybody to have these opportunities.
We were able to start Computer Science for All with the president, which is now really has huge sea legs. You know, Arkansas, the Rhode Island teams, Hawaii, full states moving to teach computer science to all their children. 9 out of 10 parents want computer science taught at school. It's not that everyone's going to be a coder for their job. It's just like we teach freshman biology to everybody because we want everyone to understand systems and their body and the environment and these things. Same with coding. It's a 21st century skill to be able to think computationally, think in the scientific method, or think critically. And so let's not leave some of those skills out. And San Francisco and the Bay Area, of course, are making moves there. Really critically important stuff.
I didn't prep either of you for this, so I don't necessarily want to air it, but you mentioned the 10%, Alex, and the putting 10% of our energies behind large problems. And part of the dinner party conversation in Silicon Valley right now has to do with universal basic incomes. And I have a lot of conversations off mic about this with my guests. Some of them will go on the record. Are either of you comfortable talking with me briefly about the concept of UBI and how it might apply or if it's something we should consider?
I think that universal basic income is part of an idea that has emerged. And so I just love to see experimentation and modeling. And I know that there's somewhere, I'm trying to remember the region that's about to test it. I don't think any of us really know that, whether that's thing. I think the thing for me that I'm focused on really is more in the Dalai Lama's New York Times article, which was about how everybody needs to feel useful. Mm-hmm. And part of that usefulness includes service. And so I think it's in a very astute observation. You know, we, out of our team, Ed Felton and Tara Lyons, led the AI conversation, the early preliminary AI conversation on the future of AI, you know, a series of town hall meetings with universities across the country on law, policies, safety, economics, et cetera. And so you can look in the elections around the world and see that a lot of people are feeling like they're not included. And so how is it that we can build the confidence and capabilities of everybody and get really creative about how we're going to do that, both the stuff we were just talking about, like media and inclusion and working on our unconscious bias. We did a report. Laura Weidman Powers was in our team who founded Code 2040 and is the CEO. Mm-hmm. This is how we're going to get all kinds of Americans and everybody, you know, to the table working on especially our culture in our companies and leadership. So, for example, companies like Intel and Slack and Microsoft are moving diversity and inclusion right up to the top three priorities of the company, not kind of somewhere in the list of 20 where the meeting keeps moving. So there's a bunch of actions you can take that change inclusion models. So it's sort of like, again, play the whole orchestra. Let's try all different things. And UBI might be one of the pieces. But definitely, I think the Silicon Valley folks could, if they would put as much energy into diversity and inclusion, I think we would be in a very different position and stop moving that meeting, put it into top three. That'd be a better choice for conversations right now at the dinner, I think.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you, and it'd be difficult to argue against it. Alex, would you like to throw your hat in this ring?
No, I think the bigger question for me, you know, there's all these ideas that we have fights about that are less important than the basic idea. The basic idea being that we need ways to help people who are having trouble, whether that's UBI or other ways. That's the big instinct here.
One of the big things we learned in government was we all of a sudden were in a position to see a lot of things going on around the country and around the world. And what I think we constantly found was that somewhere in this country, some ingenious person has actually solved or has a solution in progress to almost everything we're working on. And so we started to act a lot more like the venture capitalists do. You know, the venture capitalist doesn't make Twitter or Dropbox. They find that entrepreneur and come up underneath them and accelerate them. So venture capital. So we thought, how do you venture catalyze things? Mm. How do you find this extraordinary person, for example? And so it's really accelerating what's working in the social sector in all the different ways that we can works. And so the scout and scale method was critically important. And back to that point that Alex was making, sometimes the simpler thing is right in front of you. You just don't happen to know those people.
Well, you both have given me so much to think about and future lines of questioning with guests that are coming up. But at the same time, I'm going to list you both as associate producers on this week's show because you've given me so much to work with. Thanks, Megan. Thanks, Alex. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
That was Megan Smith and her assistant CTO, Alex McGillivray, joining me for a phone chat prior to their being awarded the Distinguished Citizens Award from the Commonwealth Club of California. There's a link to some of their legacy work from the Obama administration posted over at facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. Okay, let's take a look at technology stocks on Wall Street so far this year. Of the 11 economic sectors on the S&P, technology is coming off a historic record run. Tech stocks, again, as a sector, went up for 15 straight trading sessions on Wall Street. Now, to put that in a little context, the Dow Jones Industrial Average in 120 years has never had a 15-day winning streak. Now, the thing about the tech sector, though, is that it's really a story about four core and mature companies.
For investors playing the broad tech sector, this is a great opportunity to take profits, to pare back your holdings. If you have something like the XLK, take some money off the table and redeploy that. But here's the key thing to remember about the XLK and this tech sector is it's an overwhelmingly concentrated index. Just four stocks, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, and Apple, they make up 40% of the index. The other 60-odd stocks make up the other 60%.
That's Eddie Elfenbein. He's editor of the Crossing Wall Street blog. He was speaking with CNBC. Technology stocks may be flying a little too close to the sun. That's according to at least one technical analyst. So we may see a pause on tech, at least for now. And that's according to Ari Wald at Oppenheimer. Now, that said, Oppenheimer does like tech for the long run. So any pullback on the markets could be a buying opportunity. Also this week, news from the increasingly sharp-elbowed world of self-driving car competitors. Google's self-driving car division is called Waymo. As in Waymo lawyers than you can believe, Waymo is suing Uber for allegedly stealing trade secrets and proprietary technology. Some ex-Googlers started a company called Otto, O-T-T-O, self-driving technology for semis, long-haul truckers. Uber bought Otto for $680 million about a year after Otto launched. That's a pretty fast turnaround for a self-driving tech company, but anyway, Google alleges that its core technology has been stolen. It's called LiDAR, and it's the hundreds of lasers that ping out and back every second to paint a 3D version of the world so the car can drive itself. In Google's lawsuit, Waymo says it ran a forensic analysis of former employees' hard drives. And Waymo says it found that one of Otto's co-founders had downloaded 9.7 gigabytes of confidential Waymo data to an external hard drive before he left the company. Uber has yet to publicly respond to the lawsuit, and that just caps a rough week for Uber. A blog from a former employee details the sexual harassment culture that she says permeates Uber. The woman's allegations fit into a disturbing narrative around Uber, which is still, by the way, the world's most highly valued privately held company. Uber's programmer culture is well documented, including the story about Uber executives publicly stating that they would pursue and ruin a reporter's life for her negative stories about the company. That reporter is Sarah Lacey. She's the editor-in-chief at PandoDaily.com, and you've heard her speak here with us several times on Techonomics. Uber is conducting a fresh investigation of the newest harassment allegations. Former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder has been tapped to root out the truth about Uber's corporate culture. All right, let's thank this week's guests. We had angel investor and entrepreneur Jason Calacanis. If you are a founder and want to get Jason's attention, heed his advice. Send him a short video of your product. Let's also thank Megan Smith and Alex McGillivray. Megan was the chief technology officer in the Obama administration, and Alex was her top deputy. Also, congratulations to them on being awarded the Distinguished Citizens Award from the San Francisco Commonwealth Club. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Techonomics. We had fun. We hope you did, too. We have a raft of related links at facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. And we also post a playlist of the music we use each week on the show at that same Facebook page. And if you're on the Twitters, my handle is at KGOJason. And the Techonomics podcast, let's talk about that. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, and Audio Boom. All of our segments are available to listen to that way. There are also audio files stored at kgoradio.com/techonomics. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, my name is Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics. Have great weeks, everybody.